the fact of Jesus appearing, but before he comes, it says when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Jesus, our life, in him was light and life, and it became the light of men. It's an incredible thing to have Jesus to become your everything. And really, Jesus can't become your everything. You'll never discover that until you really come to where there's no one and nothing else in your life that can satisfy, that can sustain you. I have a wife of going on 50 years. I'm very glad to have a. We're gonna brag on that because we've made it through some very tough times and tough battles. We haven't had any knockdown drag outs. Honestly haven't. We've had disagreements about this or that, but they haven't been big blow up things because she loves Christ and I love Christ. And even before that, we didn't have knockdown dragouts. We were, you know, I robbed the cradle. You say you don't, I thought you were going to say you don't look old enough to be married that long. But since you're not going to say it, I'll just tell you our history. Praise God. I didn't rob the cradle. I got married. I was 16 and she was 14 when we got married. And so I didn't rob the cradle. I jumped in it with her. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. We just grew up together. Yeah, I finished raising her. Yeah, I raised her right. Amen. To love her man. Stand by your man. Amen. I taught her that song. I think it was the first song she learned was to stand by her man. Praise God. But we grew up together, literally, and we grew strong when we came to Jesus. To be honest with you, our marriage would have probably ended at some point because sin had come into our life in such a, you know, it starts with little things. There used to be a song, and I'll bring you a little video of that some night. Don't let the devil ride with you, because if you let him ride, he'll want to drive. Don't let the devil drive your car, because if you let him drive your car, he'll drive too far. Someone said sin will take you where you don't want to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and then refuse to let you go when you think you've had enough. But Jesus will set you free no matter how far sin takes you. Can you say amen? I'm encouraged tonight in what I'm hearing from young Christians today, because I've been wondering, where do we pass the faith down to? Jesus said, when I come, am I going to find faith? He's not talking about faith to believe God for a Bentley or a Mercedes or a Rolls Royce. He's talking about the faith that was once delivered to the saints. The Apostle Paul was very quick in the first generation of Christians to deal with that issue. And he said, I suppose that it's needful that I write unto you to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That faith was already under attack before the first generation of Christians passed. The spirit of Antichrist rose up. Can you say amen? An anti-Christian. And today the spirit of Antichrist, according to the Bible, it doth already work. When the Bible was written, the new covenant, the New Testament, it said now the spirit of Antichrist doth already work. And there's no doubt about it. The enemy is at work today. Christians all over the world are suffering persecution. And persecution is on its way here to America. It's already begun here in America. There's an anger and an angst and a violent reaction to the message of Jesus and him crucified, to the Bible itself and to the followers of the faith. But I'm glad with all of this persecution to be counted worthy, amen, to suffer persecution for his name's sake. According to the book about the martyrs, it's the magazine that's out now about the voice of the martyrs. More people have been put to death for the Christian faith in the last 100 years, this last century, than were put to death in all the history from the beginning of the persecution to this time, because we're populated with more people and the persecution is becoming very, very strong. Great revival in China. thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands in the millions now that are come to know Christ as their Savior in what we call Red China. And there's an underground church. It's been driven underground. Did you know to talk about the coming of Jesus in China, you can be arrested and you can be prosecuted for teaching Jesus is coming again, because they want to maintain political power over people. Their official stance of the government in China is that there is no God, communism and Marxism, but there is a vacuum that was created because of atheism, and that vacuum is now being filled by the power and person of the Holy Spirit where Jesus is preached, and tens of thousands are coming to Jesus, and many of them are suffering for their faith this very day. All over the world, there is suffering for the faith. So this is not just a blood-bought gospel by Christ on the cross. It is a blood-brought gospel. We have the faith today because men and women would not recant and would stand firm, amen, and be true to Jesus Christ. And where we're headed tonight, while we pray for people who are being persecuted all over the world, and we pray that we might have that kind of devotion. I'm glad that I'm not in threat of being imprisoned for preaching tonight. I heard Gregory Vins give his testimony years ago in Washington, D.C. I was up in D.C. for a meeting there. And he was a Russian dissident. And he was put in prison for baptizing believers. We're getting ready to baptize some kids that have received Jesus. He was put in jail, and he was sent to the worst prison camp there is in Soviet Russia, the one that's out in among the barren winter and snow, and people were dying from exposure. You may know the name of that camp. Someone may recall it, but it's one of those worst prison camps that you could possibly be sent to because it was hard labor, not just incarceration. And it was so cold, and people were just dying, and he thought that he would die in prison. And one day he was feeling sorry for himself, he said. And he said, "Lord, if I die in this prison and I never see my wife and children again, and I die because I preached your gospel, I'm sorry for complaining. It's okay." Can you say, man, it's all right? And when he decided that it's okay to just die here if necessary, because Jesus is worth that much and souls are worth that much, something happened, and he just said it's the supernatural power of God, because through the diplomatic sources in America, we wanted to get back some spies that they were holding. Amen. And we had spies of theirs, and they wanted them back. And we didn't know who to trade for. We decided if we're going to give them some spies back, we want to get somebody. And somebody said, there was a church in Minnesota. They put on bracelets to pray for Gregory Vins. They began to pray for his release from that prison, that gulag in Russia. And they never let up praying, just like we're not going to let up praying. Praise God. Hallelujah. And God moved up in the diplomatic circles of Washington, D.C. and the Pentagon, and they traded two Russian spies for one Christian preacher. Dissident from Russia, Gregory Vins, and he was standing in that hotel hall that we were having that meeting in Washington, D.C., sharing Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. A man that was willing to lay down his life. You know why? Because Christ was his life. And he was reunited. They let his kids come with him. They let his wife come with him. And he lived out. I suppose he's still living today somewhere here in America. But I admired him for his faith. He suffered for it, was willing to die for it. And when he spoke, the interpreter, she was a UN interpreter that had been hired to come and interpret from Russian to English. And she's very professional, and she had on this very, she wasn't necessarily a Christian that I knew of. She'd just been hired because she worked at the UN to interpret languages. She was multilingual and she knew Russian. And as she interpreted his testimony and the Holy Spirit began to come into that room, I saw her eyes well up. She tried to keep her composure, but I'll tell you, mascara is really pretty, ladies, till it starts running down your face. Can you say, man, it began to run down her cheeks, and God was moving on that young woman. God was moving on everybody in that room. I was weeping. Everybody was weeping. Diplomats were weeping as this man of God talked about Jesus with such fervent love. Now, I believe God's going to raise up some young people, Brother Taylor, amen, to run with this faith that was once delivered to the saints. I don't believe everybody is compromised. I don't want to get that Elijah complex, amen. You know, if you weren't in that cave, I don't know where it is, but if you went into that cave, if we could find the cave where Elijah was, guess what we would see on the wall on the inside? Elijah was here. Was here. He was in there for a little while, but he didn't stay in there. He came out in the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And God blessed him and used him, even though he was greatly discouraged. So I am grateful for young people. There was 2,500 young men and women gathered together to commit their life more devotedly to follow Jesus Christ. And my contention is tonight that if martyrs down through the years could die for him, the very least we can do is to live for him. Can you say amen with all that we are and everything that we have? Praise God. All I have is Christ. This is a song leader's son who wrote and sings this to 2,500 young people that I pray are going to run with the faith if Jesus should tarry that was once delivered to the saints. Because we need this in America. Desperately.
I once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way. The sin that promised joy and life had led me to the grave. I had no hope that you would own a rebel to your will. And if you had not loved me first, I would would be yours alone and live so all might see the strength to follow your commands could never come from me. Oh Father, use my wretched life in any way, and let my song
I don't believe God is done with the church. I don't believe God is done with America. I don't believe God is done with this ministry. I don't believe God is done with me. I don't believe God is done with you. I believe He's calling us to a deep devotion to follow Him. I'm going to read three scriptures, and I want us to have this before we pray. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Hallelujah. One thing is for sure, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus, they're going to suffer persecution. Jesus taught, marvel not if the world hate you. Amen. It hated me before it hated you. And the Bible said about those preachers that court the world, it said that if all men speak well of you, you have no reason to glory, because they spoke well of the false prophets that came before you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But the Bible said if they cast out your name as evil, they tell lies on you, and they do all manner of evil against you. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Can you say amen? Surely there's a crown, Paul said, laid up for me. They're getting ready to take his head and sever it from his body. But he said, a crown is laid up for me. And not me only, but all those who would love his appearing. I want to talk about some of these others in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 for just a moment before we pray tonight. There are others here. There's some that were delivered from the edge of the sword, and they conquered aliens, and they saw dead people raised, and they saw mighty miracles of deliverance. But there was an expression of faith on a deeper level than just being delivered from fiery furnaces, delivered from lions' dens. There were those that lived their faith and showed it with such devotion that they were willing to suffer and die for his name's sake. This is the history of the church. It's still going on around the world today. Today it's more political here in America, but the pressure is on. I remember when there was an outcry when manger scenes were put up in the town square, because just that baby lying in the manger. See, in China, they're out front about their fear of this child of Bethlehem that grew to be a man and went to the cross and what he did and what he promised. And they said in China, when this church began to emerge, they said we must kill the baby while it's still in the manger. Let's stop this infant church before she grows. But it's too late. It's too far gone. The conservatives' estimate now is that there's around 60 million that have come to Christ in China. 20,000 being born again each day in China. Praise God, with a church that is suppressed and persecuted and Christians that have been thrown in jail and some have had to drink their own urine. And yet God is moving by His Spirit. And this is our challenge tonight, to pray for our brothers and our sisters who are being persecuted. Let's read here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 36 about the others. And others, and this is all part of expressing our faith, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned and they were sown asunder. I looked up that sown asunder. It's not like sowing seeds and they were killed and put in the ground. Sown asunder, literally, you heard of prophets being sown asunder. They took a saw and they sawed men in half while they were alive. They were sown asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. I like verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. Can you say, man, God esteemed them higher than any of the great people that saw His deliverance? It's people that went through that persecution and kept the faith out of their devotion to Jesus, of whom the world was not worthy. That God, you know, Paul is literally saying, you know, that's why they're going home. God didn't intervene because the world wasn't worthy of them anyway. Can you say, man, bring them on home? Remember the first Christian martyr that was being stoned? He looked up into heaven. He cried, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And the Bible said, and Stephen fell asleep. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Can you say amen? I want you to turn with me to another verse of scripture in Revelation chapter 2, verses 8. And I'm just going to read the whole message because it's a short message to the church of Smyrna. You can hear the word myrrh in here. Amazing that one of the gifts that was given, Revelation 2 in verse 8, one of the gifts that was given to Jesus by the Magi, one of the gifts, the first was gold. That is a gift for a king. And then frankincense, which is that wonderful, wonderful aroma. It is something for a prince. Ah, but myrrh, what an unusual gift to give a mother of a brand new baby and give her that myrrh that goes into the embalming of a dead body. Jesus was born to go to that cross. Make no mistake about it. Men will have to stand before God for what they did to Him. But it was part of the plan of God that He go to the cross. For without the shedding of that precious blood, no one could be saved. Can you say amen? And the Bible said if the princes of this world had known what you and I know tonight about the plan of salvation, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Satan would have defended Him to the last demon. Don't let His blood be shed unto the death, because if it is, amen, tens of millions of souls will escape damnation in hell and live with Him forever in heaven. Praise God. But the princes of this world, amen, I'm not talking about Caesar Augustus, I'm not talking about Pilate, I'm talking about the principalities. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But they didn't know God's salvation plan, and the disciples didn't know it until they looked back on that cross, and Paul looked back on that cross and didn't see it as a place where Jesus was defeated, but he saw it as a place where the devil was defeated. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen to what the angel of the church in Smyrna heard. Right. And these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, thy tribulation and poverty. They were being persecuted. They wouldn't give them work. But thou art rich. Isn't it incredible here that he calls the church that's persecuted, literally persecuted financially for their faith? This is a guild town. You couldn't work unless you were part of a trade union. If you were a Christian, part of the persecution would, they simply wouldn't hire you. They were struggling. They probably had to help one another. They probably had to share with one another. Hallelujah. But that started in the early church, having all things in common. They helped each other. They were not dependent on the world without, but the brethren within. Praise God in the love of God. I know thy poverty, but thou art rich. Isn't it amazing? He said to the richest church of the seven churches of Asia, the church of Laodicea, you say I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and I say you're poor, miserable, blind, and naked. To the richest church, depending on wealth to show godliness, he said, you're poor, miserable, blind, and naked. And to the church impoverished while under heavy persecution, but yet standing up under that persecution in order to follow Jesus Christ, he said, I know you're having trouble, amen, here, financially and materially, but thou art rich. Rich in what way? Rich in a way the world don't get. The world just simply don't understand. They don't know why. For us to live is Christ and to die is gain. They don't get that. They don't know him. They haven't seen the kingdom of God. And the Bible said, unless you become as a little child, you will not see the kingdom of God. I like what a little girl here in America, Christian girl, she sent a letter and addressed it, whether they got it or not. She sent a letter to the Kremlin in the governmental officials in Russia, because when they landed their first man and launched their first man into outer space, he came back and said, I have been up in the heavens and I saw no God there. And this little girl, 8 or 9 years old, A plus Sunday school student, wrote a letter and said, I can tell you why you didn't see God while you were up there. Only the pure in heart shall see the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He's up there. You just couldn't see him. But if you get a heart filled with Jesus, amen, you'll be able to see through the eye of faith this great and good God. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, I know thy works, tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. For none of those fear, none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. This is meaning there's a time limit on this. Amen. You just need to be faithful. So he says, be faithful. How faithful? Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Can you say, man, the most cherished of all the crowns offered the Christian is the crown of life, because it's life eternal. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be heard of the second death. Isn't that incredible? You know what the Bible said? The Bible said in the Revelation chapter 20 that there's a resurrection of the unjust dead. And I saw them coming. Amen. They came. The sea gave up the dead. The land gave up the dead. And everyone whose name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Can you say, man, the eternal banishment and punishment from the presence of God? But it went on to say, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Not the resurrection of the unjust to go to that judgment seat, but the resurrection of the just. Hallelujah. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over whom the second death hath no power. Can you say, man? Aren't you glad that God has not appointed you to wrath tonight, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ? It's worth laying down this life, Brother Taylor, to have that life. Oh, I want to tell you that again. It's worth laying down this life in order to gain that life. Someone said, he is no fool who gives up what he can't keep to obtain that which he cannot lose. And the world looks like we're giving up worldly pleasures that we should be enjoying. And we look at them and say, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Can you say, man? Isn't it amazing he told the church? You know what he told Peter? After he asked Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. He said, Peter, I'm going to tell you before you start your ministry, how your ministry is going to end. I now have the devotion that I didn't have before, but I have your heart now. And I can tell you this, and it won't faze you at all. This man who ran for his life now is going to lay down, be willing to lay down his life for Jesus because of the grace and mercy that was shown him. Amen. He was the most verbal and vocal in denying Jesus, and yet Jesus is calling him. Amen. Calling him to serve him. Praise God. And Peter fell in love with Jesus. Jesus said, Peter, when you were young, you know how headstrong you were. When you were young, you girded yourself and you went where you chose to go. Amen. But when thou art old, others shall gird thee and take thee where thou would not. If you had a choice, you wouldn't go where they're going to take you. Thus signifying the death by which he would glorify Christ. Can you say, man, he would die a martyr's death. He would seal his testimony with his life's blood. And this is not in the scripture, but it has been passed down from the historians of that day that Peter, when it came time to be crucified himself, amen, asked to be crucified on an inverted cross because he said, I'm not worthy to suffer exactly like my Lord did. Such devotion is what we need today. So many people are compromising and giving in to the flesh and the world and being sucked into the culture. Whole church denominations are becoming a reflection of the culture about us instead of the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? But I'm telling you, God is going to raise up some people. That young man that wrote that song has something going on between him and Jesus that's more than a superficial relationship. And I'm praying that God raise up young men and young women that will embrace the faith that was once delivered to the saints and will fall in love with Jesus and stand up for Jesus. Can you say amen? And love him and serve him because he's worthy. He's worthy. He said, some of you are going to be persecuted, put in prison. Some of you are going to be put to death. Be faithful unto death. That's what he told Peter. And I will give you a crown of life. And Paul said, I'm ready to be offered up. The time of my departure is at hand. Surely there's a crown laid up for me. Hallelujah. What crown? This crown. Oh, there's a crown for preaching. There's different crowns. But this crown is the supreme crown. It's life eternal. Amen. And he said, if you lose this life here, you just blink and you step into eternity. Glory to God. I remember a man who got saved and gave his heart to Christ. And he had this boldness to witness. And he finally got in to see one of these high-ranking rock stars that had this posse or entourage. And they were all armed to protect him. They all were carrying 9mm. And they walked in, and some of these goons, I call them, met them. Because they didn't know they had an appointment. And one of them pulled his gun and said, what are you doing here? And he said, well, I had an appointment with so-and-so. He said, and so he's pointing that gun at him. You know, if anybody pointed a gun at me and they asked me what kind it was, I would say, I don't know, but the barrel was this big around. When it's pointed at you, it's going to look a lot bigger than it does on camera somewhere. Amen. But you know what he did? He was so bold for Jesus. Amen. He looked that guy in the eye. He said, instant death, instant glory. He said, if God lets you pop me right here, amen, my next breath will be in heaven. Instant death, instant glory. Amen. The guy was kind of disarmed by that statement. He was very intimidating, but he couldn't intimidate this guy. Amen. That for him to live was Christ and to die is gain. Glory to God. How many believe we need that kind of commitment right here in America? Praise God. Right here in the Church of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9. This is the opening of the fifth seal. Listen to it carefully. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell upon the earth? These are the martyrs. And white robes were given to every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. God said, it's not time yet, but a time is coming. The Bible speaks of that time, that when the cup of his indignation is full. I want you to know it takes a while, because God's mercy is so great. The Bible said he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all might have eternal life. But how many know there's a day coming? There's a day coming. There's a day coming. There's a day coming. There's a day coming. And you know the Bible said of the inhabitants of the earth, when the water is turned to blood, the angel said, this is requisite. This is righteous judgment. They shed the blood of so many. Let them drink blood for their drink. It's a bloody society. And God's cup is filling. We don't know how full it is tonight, but there's a point when that cup fills to the brim, and the day of the Lord will come, amen, as surely as God has promised it. But he said it's not going to come until your brethren. Everybody say brethren. Brothers and sisters. 341 times in the New Testament, the word for brother or brethren is used in some form or another to describe believers and the church. And in all instances, it means the very same thing in the Greek, from the same womb. I'm going to tell you something. There's denominations that are compromised, but if someone has come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, hallelujah, and embrace the truth of the gospel, they are our brothers and our sisters today. There's 80 denominations in America, 80 of them. And some denominations have formed over just, there's one denomination out from a denomination, and it's because the bishop in his particular denomination, the kind of head of it, he has lived into his late 80s and he's in good health. And this guy with an ambition to be what he is tired of waiting for him to pass over. So he decided to split off and start his own denomination so he could be appointed the bishop of it. That's real spiritual, isn't it? That's crazy. I expect to hear, when people talk like that, I expect to hear da 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 da. That's loony. Anybody that sees the kingdom knows it's not about titles. Hallelujah. It's about getting the work of the Lord done. Praise God. Whether I'm honored or not, it's not going to stop me from working in his vineyard, in his fields. Praise God. The harvest is great and the laborers are few. God promised to come and execute vengeance. He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And right after they said that, listen to verse 12. I'm going to read this quickly. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed like a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Peter talked about this. He said the heavens melting, just literally melting. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bond man and every free man hid themselves in dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Can you say amen? Oh, friend of mine, I'm so glad to be one of His tonight. Persecuted, lied about, amen. But I'm so glad to be one of His tonight. Praise God. Amen. My greatest joy is in my salvation. There's nothing that He's done for me since I got saved that means more to me than salvation itself. I come to church rejoicing that He saved me, that my sins have been forgiven, that He sealed me with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to see His face. Remember the song, that camp meeting song we used to sing? Oh, I want to see Him. Look upon His face. They didn't want to see His face because they were meeting Him as their judge. I can't wait to see His face because I want to see the face of the one that gave Himself for me. Hallelujah. There is no fear in love. Perfect love. Cast out all fear. Hallelujah. Wow. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. God is so good. Tonight, every person who has been killed and has laid down their life for the sake of the gospel, our brethren have shed their life's blood. Our Savior has given His life's blood. And they were killed in ways that wasn't quick and relatively painless. They died tortured deaths. And the Bible said they could have got deliverance by just denying Him. But they loved Him too much to do that. And I want to submit to you tonight that we all need that kind of devotion. Here in the relative safety of America, we need that kind of devotion to Jesus Christ. If they died for Him, the least we can do is really, genuinely live for Him. Can you amen that tonight? I want to live for Him. Praise God. This is not embellishing. This is history. This is true.
The reason.
I love you, Jesus. I love you so much. And I want to love you even more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a precious faith. This is a precious faith. This is a faith worth fighting for. Can you say, man, this is a Christ worth living for? The Apostle Paul said, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service, your true spiritual worship. So easy to sing songs with a choir. To have an emotional high on Sunday morning, it's another thing to have deep devotion to follow Jesus Christ. I preached the gospel for almost, well, I have altogether for 40 years, 38 and a half, going on 39 here, over 38 years. I've been pastor of the Holy Church of God in one place or another, form or another. Amen. And it's been an honor to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ for all of those years. But right now I feel his call as strong as I've ever felt it in all of my life. I feel strong the call of God. I don't feel like playing church. I'm going to tell you very clearly and plainly. You will hear the truth here. I won't cut it for your applause or your smile. Amen. I will tell you the truth. But if you embrace that truth because you love Jesus, hallelujah, that truth will make you free. Praise God, the world will lose its hold on you, its sway over you, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. I know your poverty, some of us. I know your pressure, all of us. But Jesus said you're rich beyond measure. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. This is a race worth running to the finish tonight. I'm going to ask you a question. How many people in this room believe there's room in your heart to love him more? There's room in you. I didn't say you didn't love him. I said there's room in your heart to love him even more for what he's done for you. How many will respect the faith like you've never revered it? I believe it's going to allow the Holy Spirit. He's not just a spirit. He's the Holy Spirit. And when we give due reverence, I believe he's going to move and manifest the presence of God to us. I believe we're going to see the miracles and wonders, not just because of gifts, anointings, and faith, but because of a deep reverence for God. Amen. In that kind of place, God is going to manifest himself. Hallelujah. When he does, he's going to show up and he's going to show out. I say that often because I work for a man whose wife had a some kind of infection in her blood itself, and the doctors couldn't rein it in and bring it under control. It was something that wasn't very common at all, and they didn't have any real plan to attack this, and she went down, 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 and down in her health until they didn't expect her to live another 24 to 48 hours. This man, Christian man that I worked with, he went into the room with her, precious black man. He went into the room with her. He told the nurses, would you please give me some alone time with my wife? He told some of the relatives that didn't have his level of commitment to Christ and faith in the Lord, would you please give me some, just, I want to be alone with my wife for a while. He said, I got down beside her bed on my knees. I put my hands over on her body as she was slipping away into a coma state and unconsciousness with no hope by the medical profession. And he said, I called upon the name of the Lord. I cried unto the Lord. Amen. And I called upon his name. And he said, Pastor Venable, God showed up and then God showed out. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When he manifests his presence in that room, amen, the power of God came on that woman. He said within 24 hours they released her from the hospital. They didn't know why she had that recovery. It's kind of like cancer when I was 8 going on 9. The doctor, when I went back to the doctor after prayer, and he called it spontaneous remission. Isn't that incredible that it just got up and left because God showed up and God showed out? Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I would have been pushing daisies before I was 9 years old. But God showed up. God showed out. Amen. And won't be long, I'll be 66 years old, and God has been good to me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me see my children's children. Hallelujah. Actually, my children's children's children. Just like Job. Glory be to God. I got great grandchildren. Praise God. I believe the Lord is going to move by His Spirit. I believe He's raising up a generation. There's a lot of compromise. There's a lot of apostasy. But there is a true church that loves Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. God told Elijah, I've still got 7,000 that haven't bowed their knees to Baal. And I believe God has a church. Praise God. And He'll always have a church because there will be people that love Him enough to serve Him with all that they are and all that they have. Will you stand tonight? The Lord is doing wondrous things. I'm expecting God to show up and show out. Praise God, because in this place, God is reverenced. His word is received. His name is exalted. And I believe the Lord is going to move mightily. And I believe everything that He declared to you and me, amen, in the new covenant, He's going to perform it in our life. I believe we can claim those promises. Can you say amen? Let's sing this song in closing, or just worship with it. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Praise God. I am the bread that came down from heaven. Praise God. Amen. Let's give Him praise before we leave tonight. How many still glad you came on Sunday night? I know some of you are tired. I know I am. If I wasn't under the unction, I'd be looking like some of you. Amen. God is so good tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I am the Lord. I'm the Almighty God. I am the one for whom nothing is too.
Pray this week that God will raise up young men and young women who will run with the faith that was once delivered to the saints.
I am
Jesus. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord.
Jesus said, I am.
Jesus. Jesus. How we need you. Jesus.
I am the righteous one. I am the man. I am the ram in the bush for Abraham.
Yes, He is.
I am the ultimate sacrifice for sin. I am your Redeemer, beginning and the end. I am.
Oh, how we love you, Lord.
Oh, I am.
Hallelujah.
I am the bread and I am the wine. I am your
my healer, my helper, my deliverer, my counselor. Hallelujah. Lord, amen and amen. Give him a clap offering of praise tonight. He's the worthy one. Praise the Lord. I want you to go and shake somebody's hand.